的American woman gonna mess your mind. American woman, she gonna mess your mind. American woman gonna mess your mind. American woman gonna mess your mind. Say A, say M, say E, say R, say I, C.American woman gonna mess your mind. American woman gonna mess your mind. American woman gonna mess your mind.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and try this because I don't have any sound. Can you guys hear me okay? For whatever reason, I don't have any sound. So, interesting. Can you guys hear me? You can't hear me. You can hear me.Okay, well, I can't hear anything else. So, sorry, I cut the music because I couldn't hear it, which I can't hear shit right now, which is par for the course. So, yeah, it's not a good set rep day until we have, you know, 20 or 30 minutes of Cursor AT setup to figure out why the hell nothing works. So, interesting day, though. I did a show with Tom Luongo,Alex Craner, Mike Ferris today on Mike Ferris's Coffee to Mike. And we went for about 2 hours today. And it was really, really interesting. So the bulk of the, I'm just going to say the bulk of the influencer market is really hopeful about Trump. And I don't think we've seen Trump in public since the election, which I think is a good thing. That's good and bad, right?It's good for his health and safety. It's good for the country. And I think it's good for to show that things are moving in the right direction. And by the way, I'm not streaming on Twitter right now. I don't know why, but I can't stream on Twitter. So I'll have to sort that out too. Just something else to fix. So, but I hope for Trump's sake that the situation remains calm. Because right now,the situation is everything's calm. We want it to stay that way. And Alex Craner said something today that I thought was really interesting. He said, be hopeful because meditation, hope, and prayer will also influence the situation and keep things moving in the right direction. And their take on the situation, which, by the way, I still was...On Thursday, I was pretty disconcerted about the whole situation. I said that on Friday's show. I'm still somewhat, let's just say, I guess the best word that I am right now is I'm cautiously optimistic because we're seeing things right now that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. And more importantly, we're seeing things right now that the country hasn't seen in a long time.And that is peaceful coexistence. People are generally going about their business. They're not, you know, there's, aside from the assorted Karens online, people are not really going out of their way like they did in 2016 to protest Trump. Just like people are going out of their way to just let things move forward, which is what we want, right? We want people to...not just do this peacefully, but we want everything to go as, you know, as advertised, especially for the next several months, just 70 days. And so far, so good, right? So like I said before, think about how you want things to be on the other side of all of this. And think about how things should look in this country. I don't care about Europe, Johnny. I don't give two shits about Europe right now. I care about the U.S. first, and then we can worry about Europe. We've spent way too much time worrying about other countries. And now the focus needs to be here for the next 48 years, especially on restoring the rule of law. So that's where our focus should be. And I think part of that, I've said before, is visualize what kind of country you want to have on the other side of this. And I've tried to refocus to be positive. I'm still going to be prepared. I still am prepared. I'm still going to focus on being prepared at least 80% of the time, but I'm going to focus on the positive side of things and look for the positive in this because, you know, everybody's spinning about his cabinet picks. He's only picked a few cabinet members. And Kash Patel told me 2 years ago that Trump had already picked his cabinet way back then. So he already knows who he's going to put into power in certain agencies. And a lot of people want to have a pick involved, or at least have, I guess the best way to put it is people want to have input into the cabinet picks. Let's just see how it plays out, especially who he picks for Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the Health and Human Services. I mean, he hasn't announced Bobby Kennedy yet, which I think is very, very interesting. But, you know, stranger things have happened, and it's still really early in the game. I mean, we're only, what, day three, day four since the election, maybe day five. So we got plenty of time. He's got plenty of time to make his cabinet picks. And knowing Trump, he will stay with not only his cabinet picks, but he will stay with his the deals he's made with people. He honors his agreement. So CIA Director Kash Patel, that would be very interesting. I'd rather see him as the AG because I think Ken Paxton as the AG is not going to have the stones to do what needs to be done. Remember, Kash Patel was a former federal prosecutor. He knows how the game's played. He knows how to look for evidence. He knows the power of the federal government. He knows the power of the federal judges. And here's the other thing, too. Trump will most likely replace all the federal judges in the 9th District. In fact, if he's smart, he will. He'll replace every single one of them and do exactly what he did with Haley and Pompeo, right? The whole Haley-Pompeo story in and of itself came out of the mainstream media. So I think it was all just BS being floated to get people upset. But I also think it was a test to see how much blowback they were going to get if they bring back any of the rhinos from the previous administration. And I would hope this time that Trump picks all new people that are America first all the way through and not screw around with them. Don't make any deals with the swamp. Don't rely on any of those swamp creatures in any of those organizations, because they're all going to stab him in the back, and I think he realizes that. Plus, this is his last 4 years, so he's got nothing to lose. He doesn't have to make deals with anybody. In fact, if I was him, I would tell everybody to kiss my ass. That's just me. So he's got plenty of options in front of him. I think he's got the right people helping him make his cabinet picks. And most importantly, I think he's learned his lesson from the last go of this, and I don't think he's going to repeat the same mistakes. At least I would hope he doesn't. So there's a lot of hope there. And, you know, I want to see how things play out. Now, does that mean that they can't pull on other lines of operation? Yep, they can go after the economy. They can use the illegals. They can the cartels. They can create all kinds of havoc. And they probably will. The interesting thing with the illegal card is today when I was talking to Luongo and Craner, and you guys should watch the interview. The Craner seems to think that the illegals, especially the Chinese, are here because the Chinese are using them as a show of force as well as a threat to get the deep state and the, you know, the city of London, the Vatican to stand down. Who knows? Plausible theory. I don't know what probability it is, but, you know, I'm skeptical because there's a lot of PLA here. And I know how much the PLA as well as the CCP are heavily embedded in New York City. They're heavily embedded in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and other cities around the country. So I don't see the same thing that Craner does, but who knows? I know this. Both countries, Russia, China, they both benefit by a strong U.S. They both benefit by a strong U.S. economy. Because let's face it, China's heavily invested in our food industry. They're heavily invested in the mineral industry. They're heavily invested in mining across the planet. If we are destabilized, it means all their assets here are destabilized. And they're not going to move in forces here, at least they're not going to be able to occupy and hold those key assets. Plus, you know, Americans will go scorched earth and they know it. I think two things happened this election. And I'm going to go back to September because that's when the narrative changed. And why this is so important is that when you do, and I talk about this in Mike's interview, and I think Mike, yeah, I see Mike, you're out there. What's so important about all this is that when you do influencing operations, you do it through whatever objective you're trying to meet, and you're trying to get the public to sign up for whatever decision cycle you want them to be a part of. And then you continue on influencing throughout that. And then after the event, you change the messaging to the next objective you want to reach. And influencing takes a very, very long period of time. I mean, it took them 4 years of Orange Man Bad, Orange Man Bad, then another 4 years of Orange Man Bad to convince people on the far left that Trump, no matter who we put up on the Democratic side, Trump is still the worst person possible. And you saw that bear out in a lot of different big cities across the country, because the influencing operations were so effective that they were able to convince the public that the Orange Man really is bad. You know, most Americans that don't really care about politics didn't get wrapped up in the narrative. But the fact that they abruptly stopped in September and went from black flag, massive cyber attack, to literally nothing overnight, this reconciliatory conversation was just, that's not how the game's played. And then when you start looking at how the whole world took a breath, and it was a sigh of relief for the whole planet. Literally, it was a sigh of relief for the whole planet. And everybody took the victory lap, right? But at the same time, they were stealing the down ballot, which I said they were going to do. And they did it here in Arizona yesterday by declaring Gallego. Now we have two communists in office. And nobody voted for Gallego. Literally, it was Pima County, Maricopa County, and their malfeasance that put them in office. And I'm waiting for whoever the AG is to bring in either CISA or bring in U.S. Marshals when they take office in January to come down here and clean house. And it will not take them very long, especially if they're doing a forensic audit. And by the way, let me answer a couple of questions that I got about this very topic. So a lot of people were messaging me over the weekend saying you should be a part of the administration. Look, I've already been told I'm not going to get a seat at the table. And it's because I didn't ingratiate people's ego and I didn't, you know, sit back and play the political card. Look, I'm not a politician. And I don't give two shits what anybody inside the Trump circle thinks of me. I never did and I never will. Because if I'm going to be a part of the administration, if they're actually interested in me doing something, I'm going to do it for the good of the country, not for the good of my political career, because I have no desire to do anything in politics when the country's restored. I've already said multiple times I'm going to retire and I'm going to walk away from this public life. My only reason for doing this is to get people prepared for whatever contingency was going to arise and then help restore the Constitution. And that is, my mission has not changed. And if I'm offered a position, I can tell you which two positions I would entertain. Either director of CISA, because I'm a security guy and that's my domain. And I could tell you the first thing I would do is I would go and secure Dominion machines from every state in the union, and I would forensically audit every single one of them. And I would take the audit as far back as I could go, and I would tell you, and I would report to Congress exactly what those machines do, what they don't do, how they can be programmed, how they were used, and then do a forensic audit of all the states and the vote counting on all those machines. And I would provide a very detailed report to the DOJ, to the U.S. Congress, and here in Arizona, which, you know, Arizona was not going to do anything to fix it. But I guarantee you a forensic audit is going to show that there was external interference and there was programmatic failures programmed into the machines. And then I would go after every single board of supervisor here and recommend that they be brought up on RICO charges, as well as the county recorder, the secretary of state, and everybody in the previous administration under Doug Ducey. That's exactly what I would do as the CISA. And as the other option would be the director of the NSA. If I was the DERNSA, I could tell you exactly what I would do there. I would go into NSA. I would fire absolutely every single SES there, and I would rehire people that were loyal to the Constitution. And then I would tell everybody that's working at home, you're done working at home. And probably a third of them would walk away, and I would not replace them. I would replace them with military members that are not only trained, but highly skilled at cyber defense and cyber attack and signals intelligence. And I would put them to work and reestablish good order and discipline across all of our signals intelligence. So those are the only two positions. And maybe the third position would be, give me a battalion of whoas, let me go roll up pedophiles. I would do that too. So I would gladly do that, actually, because I like doing operations more, and I like doing staff work and like doing political work. But who knows? I don't think any I'm going to be asked to do anything, but if I was, those would be the three places where I could really add value. And, you know, it the game now is political. It's not operational. It's political. So we'll see how things turn out, but I'm not expecting anything. So that should answer a lot of those questions. The thing to keep in mind is that this election was a referendum on the mainstream media, and they are officially dead now. And they know it. They don't have the same reach. They don't have the same power, and they don't have the same ability to influence the population like alternative social media does right now. In fact, I will tell you right now that alternative social media is probably more powerful, especially with the reach in Twitter. It's more powerful than all the mainstream outlets put together. And Tucker Carlson getting 40 million views when he went to interview Vladimir Putin should tell you right there where people are tuning in. They're not tuning into mainstream media. They're tuning into alternative media. And it's because this was also a referendum on the truth. People want the truth. People want justice. And I think Trump is going to have three different lines of operation, which I think the elite will use to probably put Trump into a quagmire. The first one is economic. They're going to do something to the economy. Larry Fink has already said as much. And then they're going to do something with the illegals in all the major cities. And Mike Adams, the doom prophet, was saying that they're going to create chaos in the major cities, and Arizona is going to be the epicenter, and they're going to bring Chinese troops in here and the cartels, and they're going to take over Phoenix, and they're going to use that as a launching point to attack the rest of the country. All right, that's all horseshit. Wait, let me say it right. That's all bullshit is what that is. First of all, logistics. If you're going to put Chinese troops on the ground and you're going to take over a city of 8 million people, You're talking about at least a million men, at least a million men. And to give you some idea, we had almost 70,000 troops just in Baghdad alone, and we couldn't hold a city block. So even if they had a million foot soldiers, that's what it would take to hold the city. And remember, there's a lot of people in Arizona that are armed. They're not going to sit down and let the Chinese or the cartels boss them around. They're going to go down swinging, which means probably a third to half of those forces are going to get smoked in the first 24 hours. And every time they show, you know, lift their head up, there's going to be bullets flying at them, and they're going to be the object of somebody's desire. So I don't see that happening. You know, probability, yeah, it's probable. Plausibility, not very plausible, because it makes more sense for them to create chaos and uncertainty to where people are afraid to go outside, afraid to go downtown, afraid to go to stores. That makes a hell of a lot more sense than trying to occupy a city, because once you own it, you own it, and you have to maintain it. And that doesn't serve anybody's interests, because then you're bogged down with, you got a million people bogged down holding a city of 8 million and dealing with the violence that comes out of that. I mean, we learned the hard way in Iraq, trying to hold all the major cities, that there's no benefit to doing that. It's just a resource suck. And urban warfare, any soldier will tell you that urban warfare is probably the hardest, because you're channelized, you're in very tight spaces, and a gunfight in a phone booth, nobody wins in that. There's always, everybody's got wounded. And just to take one building, you need tons of guys to start from the top and the bottom and work your way towards the middle. And you lose guys every step of the way. It's just a meat grinder. I mean, look at what they've been through just in Ukraine in the last 2 years and all the urban areas they were fighting. Both sides got chewed up. It was not just this massive onslaught and everybody just capitulated. And you think anybody here is going to capitulate to the Chinese, or especially to the cartels? No, that's not going to happen. So maybe they create an event. And look, I can tell you that FEMA is building camps. FEMA just took over an airport in Michigan. It was a gateway pundit today. They're moving in like 300 trailers in there to turn it into a regional command center. You got to ask yourself, why is FEMA building all these camps when there's people in North Carolina that aren't getting any help from them? They built like 7 camps down there and they're all empty. Nobody's there. So what first responders are they sending in there? Why are they setting up a regional command center up in Michigan? You got to ask the question, what are they preparing for? So, and I can tell you what those bunkers are. They're going to be sealed tombs is what they're going to be. They've brought in, you know, bunkers into, 350 trailers is what I read too. So, you know, bringing in these base bomb shelters. Why would you bring a bomb shelter into a FEMA camp? What are you expecting to happen? And okay, so if you look at that line of operation, you could say, yeah, maybe it's plausible that there's going to be enemy forces on the ground, but FEMA's not going to be the one fighting them. FEMA's not going to be the one providing security. That's not what they do. Their job is continuity of government and supposedly disaster relief, which they suck at. So what exactly are they setting up for? So you can look at a lot of different aspects to that and draw inferences. But look, I'm not drawing any inferences. I'm not gonna postulate about what could happen or what should happen. Are they going to do some? Are the elite going to do something to keep Trump out of power? Most likely. Are they going to try and keep him out of power? Most likely. Are they going to be successful at it? No. And is the American public going to put up with it? No. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But sitting here wondering about what kind of an attack, pointless exercise. Absolutely pointless, especially when you consider the fact that they could use one of 10 lines of operation and we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So, yeah, it is what it is. I had so many calls over the weekend about, well, what if they create chaos in the cities? Okay, what are you going to do about it? You're going to stay out of the conflict space. That's what you're going to do about it. And then there's the question about, well, what if they use all these, you know, military age males? Well, then you're going to have to defend your neighborhood and your community. Well, along with a lot of other people, we're going to have to mount a defense. Okay, do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. I don't think any of this stuff's going to happen, because it's easier for them to use the 14th Amendment and create a dog and pony show because it would be harder for the American public to react. And more importantly, this concept of, you know, they're going to declare martial law. Okay, so they declare martial law. They can't do it nationwide. They don't have the forces to hold the entire nation. So they're only going to have, you know, specific areas. And even in those areas, they're going to be very, very hard pressed to hold all those city blocks. That's talking about, you know, America is a big country. There is a lot of land mass here. There's a lot of different terrain here. You can't defend and fight all of it. You can't, even if you want to. So do I think they'd create some kind of issue in a major city? Absolutely. They have. I'm kind of surprised they haven't. But I think the reason why they haven't is for one simple reason. Because the bulk of the population that they want to activate, most of those people were on the fence anyway before the election. And now they're seeing the fact that two-thirds of the country stood up and said, no, we've had enough. We're not doing any more of the DEI. We're not doing any more of the trans or the gay agenda with the rainbow flags. We're not going to let you indoctrinate our children and make them into communists. We are not going to let you go after the food supply. We're not going to let you go after fresh milk. We're not going to sign up for your green agenda. We're not doing any of that. That's what the American public stood up and said on Wednesday night. We're done. And the other half of the country heard it loud and clear, because it wasn't a small number of people that showed up. 150,000 Amish showed up and voted for Trump because they're fed up too. That should tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the left didn't hear it, it's because they're retarded. And there are certain elements of the left that are retarded. But most of them realize that it's a really bad idea to go out and start rioting and looting again, because the American public's not going to put up with that either. And so you're in this situation now where they only have a few options left to play. And they're going to have to use foreign actors if they want to do anything kinetic, which I don't see them doing. Because they have, if they burn the house down, there's nothing left for them to control. If they can get Trump out on a technicality and get the rest of Congress to sign up for it, guess what? That's the best avenue of approach for them. And that's what I see them doing, you know, at least as a first option. I mean, I'm sure they have fail safes, but the loud statement to me was Mike Flynn this week, literally called out Obama by his real name, Barry, and said, I haven't forgotten, Barry. I haven't forgotten that you're the true Manchurian candidate. And I should read the whole quote for it, but it's basically Mike Flynn saying to Obama, justice is coming. And when it comes, you, my friend, are going to be tried for treason, along with everybody around you. That's what I read out of that. So if I was a betting man, I would say that Biden made a deal with Trump. And I think the other thing is, because all three of us, Craner, Luongo, and I, we're all wondering the same question. Who's the deep dark behind all of this that everybody's getting in line for? Because it's almost as if everybody on the left that's around Obama was told, take the deal, motherfucker, because this is the only one you're going to get. And if you don't take the deal, we're going to throw you under the bus. And it doesn't sound like Obama took the deal, because he knows his goose is cooked. Remember, I said this is existential. But somewhere along the line, they took all of the power away from the evil empire, and they gave it to the Trump camp, or somewhere in there was a deal brokered, and Obama was the sacrificial lamb. And my answer to that is, and I hope you're listening, Mr. Trump, because there's two things you need to realize. Number one, the American public, especially the America First crowd, we are not going to sit back and watch the sacrificial lamb or the token traitor prosecuted. We want them all prosecuted. And if you don't follow through all the way through all of the lieutenants, all the mob bosses, all of the people that were complicit, all the people that were complicit in DOD and in the Pentagon, especially the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff that were serving under the regime and have since been changed and have new leadership, every single one of them, every single one of them will be prosecuted, or the American public will let you know in no uncertain terms that that's not going to work. Because this time, I can tell you it will be a revolution. Because the American public is not going to put up with the status quo or the same old, same old. We are not going to put up with a bunch of oligarch assholes replacing another set of oligarch assholes and putting us back in the same position. The debt slavery game, the censorship game, gets completely dismantled, along with the IRS, the Federal Reserve, the CFPB, and all the other green agenda items that were pushed through in the last 6 years. Every single one of them gets repealed, including the Patriot Act. Or I guarantee you that the American public will respond this time. And if you don't, if you can't see it, Mr. President, I suggest you get some very smart people to look around you, because that's where the public's at. And they are beyond being reasonable about it now. Because we've dealt with 4 years of being called Nazis, being called fascists, domestic terrorists, and a litany of other names. There is no reason whatsoever that the American public should have any empathy or any tolerance for any more of the oligarch games. And that's just the start. The second thing is, you need to make sure that all of the pedophiles in Washington, D.C., in Hollywood, in the media, throughout all of our institutions, every single one of them is brought to justice. Every single pedophile ring is brought to justice. And most importantly, the activities of the CIA, MI6, and Mossad through blackmail operations involving children need to be outed. And every document associated with it needs to be declassified and put in the public space so the entire fucking planet can see exactly what these people have been doing. If you don't do any of that, I guarantee you, you're going to get a response. Because these people came after our children. And these people were still, to this day, bringing children into this country, putting them on airplanes, and then taking them to all parts unknown. And it's being completely funded and done by our federal government. If you don't out all those people and bring them to justice, I guarantee you the American public's going to lose patience. This is it. This was the referendum. And then the last piece of this is that everybody in the DOJ, and I mean every last one of them, that participated in the January 6th nonsense, rolling up people that were peacefully protesting on January 6th, or peacefully walking through the Senate bill. Those are the people's houses. The Senate, the White House, that is the people's house. That is not for the bureaucrats or the political elite. That's the American people's house. You will free and pardon every single one of them on day one. And then everybody involved in that, every single, down to the FBI agents that went out and rolled people up, every single one of them is going to be tried for treason publicly. And then whatever fate that the judicial branch or the military tribunal or whatever court that you put in charge of that deems fit is going to be their punishment. Nothing less than full justice is going to suffice for the American people. That's the God's honest truth. That's what this election was. It was a referendum for justice. And people want to see it now. They want to see people perp walked. They want to see people cuffed. They want to see people in court. They want to see them in orange jumpsuits. And then they want to see them behind bars or hung for treason. No other answer is going to be acceptable this time. And I don't care who it is, especially the Bushes. Every single person in the Bush family should be tried for treason. Every last one of them, along with the Clintons, the Obamas, the Pelosis, the Feinsteins, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Mike Johnson, every fucking one of them needs to be tried for treason. Mitch McConnell's wife has a shipping company that's directly affiliated with the CCP. Dianne Feinstein's driver is a Chinese spy and was her driver for 30 years? No, there is no punishment now that's going to suffice except for a public trial and whatever they get on the other side. That's what the American people are demanding with this election. That's what this election was all about. Enough is enough. You don't put the token sacrificial lamb of Obama out there. He's just one guy. There's a whole host of assholes around him that enabled him to do what he was doing. David Axelrod, John Brenner, you could Michael Hayden, Clapper, you could go down the list. And all of them, every single one of them, committed treason. So whoever you put as the AG needs to be a ball buster. And I hate to say it, but Mr. Texas isn't it. He's a politician. I want a law enforcement official, a federal prosecutor, or a sheriff to sit as the AG and bust heads. That's what I want. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if I had my choice of jobs, give me a battalion of hoes and I'll go roll up all these pedophiles. Every last one of them. I don't care where they are in the world. I'll go round them up. I don't care. Full send. These people need to be brought to justice. This shit has to end. And it has to end now. This is the problem of our generation. You know, the greatest generation, they had to deal with the whole Nazi regime. No, we have to deal with the pedophiles. That's our job. And they're all over the world. And they were enabled by the intelligence agencies. So guess what? Justice is coming. And that's what they're afraid of. That's why you can make a case that they're going to do something to try and keep Trump out of office. Because they know that when he comes to office, there are a lot of people that it's very personal for. Mike Flynn is one of them. And I don't blame Mike Flynn because he got raked over the coals. And he deserves his day in court, but more importantly, he deserves vengeance and he deserves justice, especially for what they did to his family. I may not agree with Mike Flynn all the time. I may not like his politics, but I can tell you this. He didn't deserve any of that shit. And he didn't do anything to precipitate it. And now I hope he gets a chance to go get some retribution and make that shit right. Because at the end of the day, that's how this has to go. And if you think I'm kidding, I suggest that you go take a real, really, really deep look into Jeffrey Epstein and go look at who's on those flight manifests and who actually went to the island, who didn't. And I guarantee you, you'll change your opinion because you only went to the island or the properties for one thing. And that was to have sex with children, to rape, torture, or murder a child. That's what you went for. And if you think that that's okay, then you stop listening to me right now because I don't want you in my audience because that shit is not okay and it's never going to be okay. And as far as I'm concerned, if that's the last thing I do on this planet is go hunt pedophiles, hey, I'm down with that. Bring it. Full send. Because that needs to happen. It needs to happen tomorrow. And when it comes to pedophiles and people trafficking children, as far as I'm concerned, they don't need a court case. They need lethicillin, all of them. And it can be field justice as far as I'm concerned. But the senior people, the enablers, the financiers, the traffickers at the high levels that were doing the organization, doing the recruiting, and actually trafficking kids and moving them, building these big networks to move kids, all those people need to face very public trials. And people need to see exactly what they do to children, every single one of them. And I guarantee you the world will see this shit differently. All those San Francisco homosexuals that made it okay to have sex with underage boys, guess what? You show the tapes of a little girl being killed in a seat by a bunch of sick, twisted fucks, I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of people on your side to make sure that never happens again. And I think if you look at all of the stuff that's going on around the world, of all the things that the elite are worried about right now, it's being outed. And the world finding out about what they've been doing with children. That in and of itself is enough for them to fight an existential crisis. And that's what this is. For them, it's existential, because this is the end for them. If Trump comes to office and he's serious about cleaning up the swamp, if that's real, which this time I believe it to be, or at least part of it, then guess what? Game on. And I think it's interesting that he's already had the conversation with Zelensky. He's already had the nod from Putin. He's had the nod from Xi. And all of them know that Trump coming back is a good thing. And they also know that Trump's about making deals. He's not about starting wars. So for China, it buys them more time to get their forces ready for a regional conflict or a major conflict. And who knows? Maybe they'll decide the fighting's not the right answer. And that's just one piece of this. The other piece that I haven't talked about, and that we didn't really talk about on Mike's show, is all these people involved in the vaccines. Big Pharma, Bill Gates, all the investors, the fact that the Joint Chiefs of Staff and senior federal employees pushed the vaccines on both contractors, military, and government service workers. All those people need to be brought to justice, every single one of them, all the way down to the hospital level. And in fact, as far as I'm concerned, anybody that took the bonuses for pushing the jab, they all get to be held accountable and lose their careers. Because how many people were injured directly by a vaccine or killed by a vaccine that was pushed by a doctor? And you don't get to tell me the science is there. You don't get to hide behind, well, the science was there. Because everybody knew the science was flawed. Everybody knew they suppressed all the other therapies that could have helped people with supposedly sick with COVID and pushed the jab instead. And everybody in the medical establishment knows that you don't push a vaccine during a pandemic. So if it wasn't really a pandemic and it was bullshit, then that means it's fraud. If it really was a pandemic and they pushed the vaccine, then all of them are complicit. There's no outs. And if it decimates our medical society, so be it. Because how many of those people were drummed out and pushed out? How many nurses or doctors lost their jobs because they wouldn't push the jab? I could think of two or three Army doctors, Sam Sigaloff is one of them, that was basically pushed to the side and almost lost his career because he wasn't going to push the jab. And he was writing medical exemptions, which is what he should have been doing. And all those senior officers, every single one of them that conducted retribution against all the medical establishment and all of the other senior officers that didn't go along with the jabs, all those motherfuckers go to Gitmo, all of them, especially the general officers. And if you're hearing me and you're a general officer, you should mark my words. Because if there's one mission I will do, I will come and round you up. I will make sure you go to Gitmo. I will make sure you stand trial for treason. And I will be there every step of the way, including walking you to your cell. Because what you did to this country, especially to the military members, is reprehensible. And the fact that we've lost 300 plus pilots because of the jab, that directly is directly a reflection of your leadership or lack thereof. And every single one of you that went along that, including Austin and the Joint Chiefs, you're all going to prison, every single one of you, because you continue to push bad policies, number one, and all this DEI crap. As far as I'm concerned, you lose your military retirement. We bust you down to the lowest possible rank, and we dishonorably discharge you if we don't send you to prison. And that goes all the way down to major and captain. Anybody doing pride marches, your days are numbered. Anybody pushing DEI and racial hatred, you're out. I'll make sure it. And if you're trans, I'm walking you out the door myself. You are not going to stay in the military. Why? Because you're non-deployable. I don't give a shit about your life choices, but I do care about the fact that everybody in the military is supposed to be deployable and capable of fighting. And the moment that you become trans, you are non-deployable. So you're out, like every other soldier that was non-deployable. If you're non-deployable, you're gone. And we will put people in that are healthy and able to fight. That's what the military is for. It's not a fucking social experiment. sorry, I'm on a rant today, but there are a lot of people that need to face justice. And the truth of the matter is, Trump's got a big job on it. This isn't going to happen in 4 years. It's going to take 8 or 10 to clean this up. And this is where the challenge to the public comes in. You can't go back to fucking football or hockey or baseball or basketball or whatever your drug of choice is. You have to participate now. You have to keep eyes on all of these different things going on to make sure they happen. You don't get to go back to sleep. You don't get to sit home and crack a beer and talk shit about how other people are doing the work. You have to be a part of the civic and the social experiment that this country is, and make sure that all the civic responsibilities that need to happen from this moment forward actually happen. Otherwise, you can fuck off too. Because we got here through apathy and laziness. And if you want to get out of this, then you got to get off your ass, put your fucking beer can down, turn off your fucking TV, and go participate. Because that's the only way we're going to clean up this country. And people need to get the fucking memo. This is going to take a long time. And if this is the fight, guess what? This is the fight. And you have a moral obligation. Let me say it again. You have a moral obligation to be a part of the solution. Otherwise, you don't deserve to be here either. Because if you're not willing to stand up and do the work to help clean up this country and each state, then guess what? You don't deserve to be here. There are people all over the world that want to come here. And they want to come here and they want to be a part of the system. And there are people that have come here that are a part of the system. So whatever form that takes, whether you help out a school board, help reform the curriculum, whether you help reform the city laws, whether you help reform the state laws, whether you help reform law enforcement, whether you help reform any part of the judicial system, it doesn't matter. You have to be a part of the solution now, because this cannot be a few people at the very top making this happen. It has to be all Americans that are invested to be invested. Because we didn't work this hard to get the message out so people could go back to sleep. And this Senate steal that they just did, that's because people were too busy doing a victory lap to pay attention. And I've said this before, everybody was focused on POTUS. Nobody was focused on the down ballot. And what did they steal? The down ballot. Exactly what I said they were going to do. All this takes logistics and people. All of it. And there's no easy solution. There's no, we put these 10 people in jail and everybody gets the memo. No, there has to be real justice, and real justice takes time. And we're going to have to follow the rules, and we're going to have to follow the rule of law, because here's the slippery slope. The slippery slope is, if we go too far to the extreme, military tribunals, firing squads, that whole nine yards, there has to be an end point. There has to be a line in the sand to say, this is the level of criminality that deserves that. Everybody else goes to prison, and then we're done. Then we move on and go back to a normal system, because then we become the police state that they wanted to be in the first place. And we have to stay a long way away from that, which means the legal process is going to be messy. Reforming the laws of this country is going to be messy. Stripping the power out of the federal government means there's going to be ambiguity. It means there's going to be services that were probably overlooked that are going to go away. And most importantly, we're going to have to start looking at the mainstream media and how companies operate, as well as how the university system works. And think about it. All these people that matriculate to a university because of their family name or their status, et cetera, how are you going to reform that? That has to be reformed. And then you have over 90% of the population of professors that are all libtards. What are you going to do with all them? You can't fire all of them. And you have to have a benchmark to which they operate and a code of conduct that's enforced, which means somebody's got to get involved in the university system to unfuck that. That's going to take a significant amount of time. And all these different activities have to happen concurrently. You can't just do one and then the other. All this shit has to happen concurrently. especially when you're trying to revamp the entire federal government. And it's more than one, you know, it's just one thing to kill the bureaucracy and throw people out. You have to go undo all the laws, the regulation, and all of the different pieces of legislation that were put in place in order to both maintain protections of free water and food and the environment, because the flip side of that is also out there, where if you let industrialists do whatever they want to do, they're going to pollute the environment. That's been shown time and time again. But it's figuring out what the right balance is between legislation, regulation, and industry that's going to be key. And that's where smart people like us come in, and we lay down the rules of how it should be. And then we put checks and balances in place so we don't get into this position where OSHA is dictating how people, you know, dispose of just about everything, to where it's so cost prohibitive that they can't do business in the U.S. There is a balance there, and we have to find the balance. And that's going to take you and I. It's not going to be a couple of guys at the very top. They see everything at the 10,000 foot view. They don't see it at the ground level. And that's where all you tradesmen come in, all you journeymen that actually do this, HVAC guys, mechanics, all you people working in the industry that are doing manufacturing, what little manufacturing we have, all of you have to be a part of this process. Like, what makes sense from a safety perspective and what doesn't? What makes sense from a production standpoint and what doesn't? There's engineers across this country, electricians, you name it, plumbers. I mean, all of you have good ideas that you could contribute to reforming all of the city, county, and federal regulations around all this stuff. And it has to be done, because the next side of this, once we get on the other side, is we have to bring industry back to the U.S. and we have to entice that back with the ability for them to operate and generate a profit. We work in a capitalist society, a free market system. We have to make sure the free market can thrive, because we have to stay competitive with China, Russia, India, and all the other countries that have cheap labor. That's only going to happen if we have the right balance of legislation, as well as the right balance of regulation. And all the stuff that's been put in place in the last 12 to 15 years, completely unrealistic. Like just the standards around gas mileage. And here's the other thing we have to revamp. We have to revamp how people can use your information to write real privacy laws, such as Facebook. You're not in the intelligence industry. You're not an intelligence agency. So you are not going to collect any information on American citizens whatsoever without their consent. And you're going to put it in plain English, and you're going to make it a part of all your banners. And you're going to give people the opportunity to opt out. And then Amazon and Google and all the others that have been contracted by the intelligence agencies, you're going to turn all the microphones off. And then you're going to fuck off. And you're going to be split up. And all of your executives are going to be tried for treason, because no one gave you the authority to operate under U.S. Title 10 or U.S. Title 50. So you can fuck off. And all those stars that said they were going to leave, we put them on the plane and we make them fuck off. Because if you were bold enough to say it on social media, then we're going to make sure you get a one-way ticket, probably to some shithole in Africa with no resources, where no one knows your name, and we're going to drop you off. And then you can go live the dream. You see how much work's there? There is a lot of work to do, especially when you start considering the amount of logistics it's going to take just to reform one of those systems. It's going to take all hands on deck. And the good thing in all of this is that there's a good portion of the population across the planet that has developed antibodies to conflict and kinetic. And that, it, for us, is a very, very good thing, because most of the world does not want to see violence. They don't want to see it. They don't want to support it. They don't want it happening. They want the military-industrial complex. They want all of these different warmongering factions. They want them all to go away. And they want to live a peaceful life. That was the other resounding message from the election. The world has spoken, and the world wants peace. They do not want conflict after conflict after conflict. And that is the challenge, is to make sure that that doesn't happen now. All of us have a moral obligation to participate now. All of us. And all of us have a vested interest to participate. And some of that's going to be election reform. Some of that's going to be going through and doing forensic audits on the machines and doing forensic audits of the ballots and the way the ballots were handled in chain of custody. And that has to happen in at least 20 states, all the blue states, all the major blue cities. And then people have to be brought to justice, which means all those federal prosecutors, all those attorney generals, they have to be held to account. And if they're not willing to stand up, then they have to be arrested. They have to be removed from office. The problem is that the population's been dumbed down. And they've been dumbed down to the point where they truly don't understand how civics works. They don't understand how the whole system of checks and balances should work. So now we're going to have to take some draconian action to get everybody in line. And look, you don't have to arrest everybody. You just have to arrest enough of them to where the rest of them get the memo and start doing their job in an unbiased way. They've had too much time at the mic, and they've been too entitled for too long. And now we're seeing the downstream effects of that. And then the second and third order effects of all of this is that we're going to have to put things in place and a system in place that never lets this happen again, to where a few oligarchs can influence our entire population. That has to stop. And trying Bill Gates and his entire family for crimes against humanity, that absolutely. And Alex Craner had a very good idea. Take all of the oligarchs, all of their entitlements and their endowments that they put aside, especially the Rockefeller family, take all of their entitlements and all their NGOs that they bury all their money in and their trusts, and you repatriate that, and you pay off all the people that have been harmed by the vaccine, specifically from the Gates Foundation and Berkshire Hathaway and all those other people that were participating in that. Guess what? Just solved a lot of problems that made people whole. And you've stripped them of their wealth. At the same time, they're going to prison. As far as I'm concerned, all the elite that allowed this to happen, they should all be stripped of their wealth, every single one of them. All these families, like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all of them, they lose their wealth, they lose their entitlements, they lose all their NGOs, all their trusts, all of it. It's all gone. We repatriate it. And what we don't use to pay off people who were directly injured, we use to bring down the national debt. And then we nationalize all of their assets, and we find the right people to go run those and rebuild the country. And that's how we do it. We'll see if it actually happens. But that's my view of how this has to go. Because people are going to be more motivated to participate, more motivated to actually get involved if they see people being held to account. If they don't, it's going to be a revolution. Everybody disagrees with me when I talk about the fact the American public, especially conservatives and America First, every single one of them was ready for Kinetic if Camel Toe won. Every single one of them. You know, I know that because I talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them tell me, if she wins, the guns come out. I can't tell you how many different times I heard that. A lot of people were saying it. I wasn't making that up. That wasn't me projecting. That was me repeating what I was hearing. That was me telling you what everybody else was thinking. And that's what people are thinking. They're fed up with the status quo. And people want to return to what this experiment is supposed to be. A free market society with big R rights, big R freedoms, or big F freedoms. And guess what? No centralized control of anything. No strong federal government, no national police forces. So we have our work ahead of us. And it's going to take all of us to be involved in order for that to go the other way. And all of you have to be ready to participate. If you're not, then you don't deserve to be here as far as I'm concerned. Whether you like that or not, I really don't give two shits about that. I know that that this team that's been around me, we're 4 years into this. I started this in 2020. I'm going on my fifth year of doing this. And I started doing it because I wanted people to realize what they were hearing was a lie. And look at where we are now. We are finally in the place where the truth is getting out. People are more aware. People are actively watching what's going on in Maricopa County. 4 years ago, everybody was fast asleep. And I hope for our sake that everybody checks in, picks up a shovel, and goes to work, because we're going to have to dig ourselves out of this. And it's going to take a long time. And by the way, it's probably going to suck financially. It's going to suck from the perspective of logistics for a while until we get back on our feet. So be ready for it. And don't shy away from it. And you should be prepared for anything, because this is a very dangerous place we're in right now, where we've got somebody that's duly elected and we have a whole entire group of people that do not want to give up power. The good thing is they know we outnumber them, and they know that we're not only energized, but we're organized. And that scares the shit out of them. And it should scare them, because the American public wants things to change. And that's the best part, is people want change, so they're willing to do the work to drive it. I'll be back on Wednesday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.